Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by one of our own, Sarah Hicks. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Colin.
No relation to the other Hicks that we have working here.
No, none, not me.
Totally different continent of origin, or maybe not. So today we are talking about how, so Sarah is a senior SDR here at Predictable Revenue. She's just been crushing quota over the last couple of months. And there was this process that we found on the internet. We ran an Outbound Labs experiment and she was able to reverse engineer it and like absolutely crush her quota, only work 5 to 10 hours a week and like 130% of quota. Yeah. I'm kidding about the 5 to 10 hours a week, but she was 130% quota. Using this method. And so I thought, hey, what a great opportunity to get Sarah on the show and get a little bit tactical about some of the things that that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Great. And so the actual topic or the content that we're going to get into is basically how you reverse engineered this, something that actually Beck Holland shared. She's now over at Chorus AI.
That's right.
And she was talking about LinkedIn. Tell us a little bit more about sort of what she was talking about and sort of what you took away from that and then what it looks like now.
For sure. So Beck did this webinar with Sales Hacker and she's talked about the strategy that she'd come up with for her SDRs. So they were doing an ABM approach and she was having her her prospectors looking at their prospects and trying to find personalization content based on their LinkedIn activity. So going to whatever they'd commented on or what they'd liked, or if they'd posted something themselves or an article maybe, and then taking these kind of specific types of snippets from that and inputting that into a specific template that she used for this first personalized email. And basically it looked really awesome. It looked like it was a kind of like simple, and effective way to do personalization. So I wanted to give it a try. But I wasn't doing ABM style at the time. So I sort of rejigged it to fit what I was doing.
And so, cause her approach was really, here's your target accounts, look for signals, let's see what they're saying. And then let's use those signals on LinkedIn to engage.
Yeah.
It's a really great method if all your accounts are on LinkedIn.
Absolutely.
And I think at the time you were going after an audience that wasn't really on, wasn't super active on LinkedIn for those target accounts. Mm-hmm. And so you wanted to open it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's the thing. And even if they were active on LinkedIn, it didn't mean that they were posting relevant content. Maybe they were liking and commenting on stuff that I couldn't really work with. So yeah.
Cool. So first question, why do you think you're smarter than Beck?
So Beck, sorry. Basically, yeah, as I mentioned, I wasn't doing ABM. So I was thinking, how can I adjust this strategy to fit what I'm doing? So basically I thought, could I not do the opposite? Could I not reverse engineer it? And rather than having my existing targets and then writing the personalization based on their activity on LinkedIn, could I not see who's active on LinkedIn and make them my prospects? Obviously if they fit our ICP, but like that.
Gotcha. So instead of saying, okay, I'm going to narrow the universe to my realm of prospects and just look at those accounts, I'm going to look for people that are active and active in a way that's sort of a potential trigger event for me. Mm-hmm. So the activity is going to indicate that, hey, there's something meaningful here.
Yeah.
This is really effective. We got an SDR team of 3 at Predictable Revenue right now. And so this is not something that's probably going to work if you have 100 SDRs on the team, mm-hmm. or if everybody is sort of limited geographically by, or you have your set sort of territories. It's one of those like early in the days of the SDR team tactics that if you do have sort of a green field opportunity, this is super helpful because you can sort by who's super motivated or at least who's super active. And it's a great way of prioritizing and figuring out of everybody I can potentially reach out to, how do I narrow it down to the most accurate 25 people?
Totally. Exactly.
Cool. Mm-hmm. If I disappear off camera or I get really quiet, I'm just trying to, I can't mute myself because I mute both the mics. Yeah. Sarah's.
And don't cough on my face.
Yeah. If you can't see us, Sarah's standing right next to me in our office here. Obviously we work out of the same office.
Sure do.
And so I'm just trying to recover from this cough. That's why I got Sarah on here to do my work for me. Yeah. Cool. So talk to me about this process. So the idea is it's a great method for reps that aren't necessarily like one, it's a great method for reps when you're following an account-based process. But if you're not following an account-based process, it opens it up even a little bit more so that you can find the most relevant prospects across a wide range of people and then really narrow it down and get and have a really personalized conversation. So talk to me about what this looks like in the eyes of the prospect.
For sure. So in this email that they're receiving, basically it's speaking either to the post that they liked or reacted to or commented on as a whole, or if they commented something specific, then it's speaking to their comment itself. Obviously, if that's something that's relevant and that we can tie into our own value prop for predictable revenue. So it's kind of a short and to the point email that shows not only that I've done research on them and I can show you exactly what that research is and I've pulled something kind of meaningful from that research, but it also allows me to basically offer up predictable revenue as a solution, a potential solution to whatever pain was mentioned in that initial post that they interacted with or commented on. And if they mentioned something valuable in that comment, I can even tie it back to that comment itself.
Cool. And I love how you're using sort of the something that they're commenting on to sort of, you know, one is sort of a, it's a trigger. It's a trigger, and then using that to sort of tie into the value prop that you in the conversation that you want to have.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you're already thinking about this. Why don't we continue the conversation this
exactly,
way?
Exactly, yeah.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And so I know we were going to get into how does it work first, but I want to front load this piece. I mentioned earlier that you were 130% quota, you know, the first time that you tried this, like right out of the gate. Can you talk to me just a little bit about some of the results? And we don't have to go super deep because I know we've got some time for that a little bit later, but can you give a high level if there's a sales manager or an SDR that's listening is like, hey, why should I try this process?
For sure. So the first time I ever tried this campaign, I got, I think it was like a 96% open rate and a 36% response rate. And even though not all of the responses were positive, I was getting what I call positive negative responses. So as an SDR, you know that so many of your emails just go completely ignored. People are probably clicking you into spam or people are saying, no, thank you, unsubscribe or whatever. And that's kind of the extent of the negative responses that you'll get to see. But I was getting people respond back saying, hey, this is like a really great first prospecting email. I've never seen one as good as this. So even though we can't do this for X, Y, Z reasons, this is really fantastic. So and yeah, as Colin mentioned, in the first month that I was doing this, hit 130% of the quota. So way more meetings coming from one specific type of campaign than I would normally have. I'd obviously normally be pulling in meetings from a bunch of different campaigns, but yeah, the amount of meetings booked from this one shot up, and the response rates in general, whether positive or negative, shot up.
Which is like, it was enough to make sort of the whole team notice and say, hey, maybe there really is something here.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those, like, you know, people pass around, I don't know how every company works, but specifically here, you know, we see something on LinkedIn, we're going to share it around the company. Mm-hmm. It's not super frequently that we'll test it out. And it's like, oh yeah, we were able to replicate the results.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like, oh yeah, it was probably, you know, it worked for them in this one unique scenario. And then, you know, they're cherry picking their best results. Mm-hmm. This is one of those ones where it was like, yeah, okay, well, let's see how it goes. And then you actually smashed it.
Yeah, it worked.
Okay. So I understand that it sounds like a great process. Obviously being 130% of quota feels fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about how this works.
Mm-hmm. So the first place that I started was finding these thought leaders who were posting on LinkedIn frequently and that had high enough engagement on these posts for it to make sense for me to sift through and see who of the people engaging were good prospects for me.
What does that look like when you say high engagement? Like, are we talking about like 5 likes, 10 likes?
Yeah. So I usually want it to be somewhere around the 150 up mark for likes and around like 35 or maybe close to 50 up for comments.
Okay.
That's kind of where I started, and I've continued on in that way. And so I'm following a bunch of these sales and business development thought leaders on LinkedIn, and I'm also tracking all of those guys in a Google Sheet so that I know who to go look at their posts and see if they've posted anything recently that's useful for me.
I've noticed I'm not in your sheet.
No. Kenny is. Our boy Kenny. yeah, so start with the thought leaders, and then going from there, building the lists based on who's liked, based on who has commented, sorting through those to see who are titles that we want to work with. Mm-hmm. And then building this email campaign where I'm using this the same kind of template as Beck used and she described in that webinar. Mm-hmm. And so it's each campaign is specific to the thought leader's post, but they're all pretty close. So it's pretty easy to kind of build a new campaign when I find a new post and really easy to personalize from the templates.
Gotcha. Okay, so it sounds like it's not like you're just on LinkedIn and then once you see a comment, you're just going to go and add and like sequence this person. It sounds like you got a bit of structure to it and you're thinking of how to sort of, I guess, how to build the assembly line of the sequence so that you can sort of, you can achieve this personalization mm-hmm. at scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. So let's talk about that process.
Cool. So in terms of the template for the email. So that's something that Beck spoke to in this webinar. And the way that she kind of structured this was you've got your hello so-and-so, and then you have your premise or your trigger, as we would call it, which is referencing the thought leader's post, maybe referencing their comment on that post. What I do is I have an excerpt from the post that's like a powerful snippet that sort of captures the whole ethos of what that post is about. Mm-hmm. And I use that as an excerpt for if the prospect has just liked the post, but if the prospect has made a comment that is in some way relevant, then I'll use an excerpt from their comment as gotcha. My
So you're actually like
piece.
Building on exactly what they said, as opposed to just like, oh, I say you commented on this. Here's some random thing
exactly.
I copy and pasted. Okay.
Yeah. And kind of the way that I frame that is, hey, I saw you liked or commented on so-and-so's post about XYZ. Mm-hmm. What really stood out to me was X. And that's one of those two excerpts.
Yep.
The next piece is kind of the hook piece that we call it. So it's a what if question. And that's Beck's kind of structure there. So it's a what if question that ties in our value prop with whatever the content was in this post. So whatever the pain was that was mentioned or anything like that, mm-hmm. it's what if some way we can solve that pain point. And then finally the call to action, which is just, can we talk about it?
Cool. And so can you give me an example? Because I'm mm-hmm. I'm hearing it, but I can't see it.
For sure.
And we can share the screen. So if you're watching on YouTube, you can follow along. And then if you're listening around, or if you're just listening, we're going to link three slides. This will be the first of the slides. So you can check out Sarah's messaging. Mm-hmm. But if you're watching, we're going to screen share now-ish. If you give me a few seconds here, make sure I share the right one. There we go. And there you are.
Yeah. So that's a screenshot that I took of Beck's webinar that's showing you her kind of template for it, that mm-hmm. the kind of flow. And then the next one here is just how when I was teaching it to other people here at Predictable Revenue, I kind of broke it down. So for instance, Jake Dunlap was the very first thought leader that I ever built one of these campaigns around. And it was funny because his post was actually about how the predictable revenue methodology is like old and terrible now. And so I was like, great, can't wait to rebut that in this. So for instance, it would have been
swinging big right out of the gate. That's like the hardest one.
Here, go home. So the would have been high prospect. So you liked or commented on Jake Dunlap's post about the predictable revenue methodology being defunct. What really captured my attention was, and he was mentioning, we can't rely heavily on that cold email 2.0, sorry, the relying all on email anymore. It's now outbound is reliant on a multi-channel approach. And I was like, what really stood out to me is that Jake said what I just said there, that we need to rely on a multi-channel approach. And what if, and now the value prop was, well, what if we do actually provide you with a creative multi-channel outbound prospecting system at scale? And then give me a chance to unpack that on a quick call. How's your calendar looking on whatever day? So that would have been how I framed it when the prospect just liked this post, mm-hmm. obviously quoting the Jake Dunlap post, the original post. But if the person commented being like, yeah, predictable revenue sucks now, then I was like, I really liked how you said predictable revenue sucks now, because actually it doesn't. And then, gave them something.
I mean, it is, in fairness, it is a book that's 10 years old.
And absolutely. Yeah.
If you're just following cold calling 2.0 and you're only emailing people, you're probably leaving a lot on the table. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, it's for me, I'm like, it's true.
Yeah.
But also like, it's, the book is 10 years old. Of course, things are going to evolve.
Absolutely. And I think it was actually a great opportunity for me to kind of educate a bunch of these people who kind of like went by predictable revenue back in the day. And then they were like, oh no, you're right. Like, it is pretty old.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but the predictable revenue methodology is not just the cold calling 2.0. It's keeping up to date and keeping ahead of the curve with every new sales strategy. So
totally. And part of that's a little bit on us is like, it's just been the book. We haven't updated predictable revenue other than fixing spelling mistakes, and like updating that model and publishing is something that's a priority for us in 2020.
Cool. Yeah, that was a good one. It worked really well. And as I mentioned, that very first one had a 96% response rate, 96% open rate, 36% response rate. And a lot of people being like, yo, this is the best first cold email I've ever gotten. Love it.
I mean, it would have to have a 30, like one third, over a third of people responded to that email. Mm-hmm. Are these the stats there?
Yeah, that's right. So right on the bottom there, was the very first one I ever did. Since then, I've now done 19 of these campaigns. And while that one is definitely the best results I've ever gotten, generally speaking, the metrics are all kind of stacking up. They're staying pretty consistent.
Nice. All right, so we'll kill the screen share. Again, if you're not following along there, feel free to check out the show notes. We'll include a link to a Google Doc so you can just Google Slides and you can check that out there. Okay, so we've got basically, so if I can recap the process, you first build a list of thought leaders on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Then you find, you know, when they have a thread, so you're watching your inbox, they have a thread that's 50 comments, 50 likes. 50 likes or 150?
Like 100 and up.
100 and up likes, 50 comments. Mm-hmm. You're going to save that thread. Then you're going to go build that, like turn that list of people into a list of emails. At the same time, you're also going through in your spreadsheet and you're marking, you know, did they just comment or did they just like it or did they actually leave a comment?
Exactly.
If they did leave a comment, you're going through and writing a personalized response. Are you putting that into, are you writing that in the spreadsheet or are you writing that in Outreach?
So when I'm actually building the list, I am copy and pasting the comment into its own like commented field or column in my sheet.
Yeah.
And same, a liked column. So, and then when I actually import those contacts to Outreach, I import with those two pieces of information as well. So that when I am going through the tasks and personalizing the emails, it's sitting right there next to the task. And then I know I can either pull a little excerpt from the comment if it's relevant or adjust it for if they liked it.
Okay. So gotcha. So you're not writing the comment in your sheet and then throwing that into the messaging. You're waiting until that pops up in your task feed.
Yeah.
Cool. So let me think here. Cause it does sound like it's a ton of work, right? Like, so how does this fit into your day-to-day schedule?
Yeah, for sure. So as I mentioned, I've got this Google sheet where I'm just tracking the names of all of the thought leaders that I like their stuff and that they often have relevant stuff. And so every so often, usually every couple of days, I'll just spend maybe like 15, 20 minutes checking all of their profiles, seeing if they've posted anything relevant. And if they have, I'm going to grab that and put it in that sheet right away so that I don't ever find myself having to look for content when I want to make a campaign. Rather, I've just got them all ready to go. So I'm putting their names down, putting the excerpt that I know that I'm going to use from their post in there, putting a little blurb that I know is going to be my relevant relating our value prop piece, and then putting a link to the post itself so that I know that it's there. And then when it comes time to build these campaigns, I've got a bunch of them sitting there ready to go, accruing hopefully more likes and more comments in the meantime.
Can I pause? Yeah. I think this is one of the smartest things you do. Part of this process is because you're creating this little treasure trove of like potential meetings. So like at any point in time, you can call on this and then very quickly spin up a campaign to be like, oh, I can hit my number.
Yeah.
It's like Sarah is like consistent because she always has a bunch of little things like this in her back pocket. If you're an SDR and you're listening, pay very close attention to this piece right here. Anyway, sorry, I'll let you back to your piece, but no. I just wanted to highlight that one thing is like, I think that's one of the smartest pieces from the whole like process is that you're constantly going and adding more and more and more. So you've got this little.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's really helpful. I mean, especially coming up to the holidays when I know probably even the thought leaders are going to take a break and not post as much, I've got a bunch waiting and ready. So that's good. And then in terms of the time that it actually takes going through the tasks, actually writing out this personalized first email. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, with the kind of template that Beck had and then my version of that template, when I build the campaign, all I'm doing is cloning my last LinkedIn sequence. So really easy there. And then adjusting within those, that flow of the first email, just inserting that new excerpt and inserting the like, I saw you liked so-and-so's post about XYZ. Mm-hmm. All I have to do is personalize that little bit. And then when I'm actually clicking through those tasks, that's when I pull the person's comment in, mm-hmm. or just delete any excess and leave it as I saw you liked this post about XYZ.
Gotcha. So it really isn't, if they just liked it, it's not a ton of extra work.
No, and I still,
other than like the setup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's relatively zero personalization, but at that point, I still get people who respond being like, wow, you did great research. And I was like, thanks.
I mean, it is personalized because it's relevant to the conversation you're having, right? And I think that's one of the biggest things that, you know, Kenny and I looked at when we went and interviewed our customers is like you want to be trying to reach out to people that are thinking about this right now. Mm-hmm. And like, what better signal than they are actively talking to a thought leader or commenting on something about a topic like this. If they are on LinkedIn bitching about, hey, I've got to hit my quota, I'm behind, like, that's a great piece because that's, you know, you can slot right in really nicely. And for anybody that's listening, like, there are these conversations that are happening. Typically, they're on LinkedIn for a lot of industries. They may be elsewhere. There could be mm-hmm. comment boards. There could be Stack Overflow. It could be GitHub, maybe, if you're selling to engineers, you know?
Yeah, actually, when we were looking at being able to implement this for all of our clients, and I did a little lunch and learn in Predictable Revenue here, I was trying to look at some of our clients and see where I'd be able to find similar things. And Twitter was actually a really big one because sometimes the thought leaders are not in LinkedIn or they have like 3 followers on LinkedIn, but those mm-hmm. same people have thousands of followers on Twitter. So same kind of process would work there.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I imagine Stack Overflow, it's a little bit harder to sort of tie somebody. That's more on the engineering side of things, but just if I'm thinking through this across a broad spectrum, there's lots of different potential channels that you can listen strategically and then use that to sort of tie this into your conversation. So don't just think this is something that only happens on LinkedIn.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. And so, sorry, I'm not dying. I actually feel great. Good. It's the last like little bit of this I'm trying to get rid of. So when you're reaching out, like it sounds like you're doing this on email using Outreach. Mm-hmm. Is this just email? Is this phone? Is this LinkedIn? What does that look
like? It's all three. Obviously, because we speak to doing a multi-channel approach on behalf of our clients, we always want to do it in-house too. Mm-hmm. And so it's a mix of LinkedIn, calling, and email. The calling I kind of reserve for if there's been some kind of engagement with the email. And Colin can speak a little bit about how we look at like clicked rates and open rates and when to trust those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But so if somebody has opened an email, I'll call them. If they haven't, maybe not the best use of my time and I mm-hmm. should call somebody else, but yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that Outreach specifically has, and I believe SalesLoft has this as well, is the ability to monitor how many times somebody's engaged with that email, whether it's clicking on a link or opening the email. If you're prospecting into people that have lots of Gmail accounts or that are primarily Gmail, I'm not going to go into the technical details on this podcast, but let's just say when you send an email to Gmail, the server caches it. The server is going to basically, let me back up a sec. So the way that you know that somebody opened your email is there's a little 1x1 tracking pixel in your email. And then when they click to open it, then they download that pixel and then it sends, and they download it from a server that's on the Outreach side or SalesLoft side. And then that's what fires that notification. What happens now is when somebody in Gmail opens that email, Google, instead of them downloading that pixel into their browser, Google actually caches it on their server. Mm. I'm going to butcher the explanation. If you Google it, there's explanations. I'll see if I can find it. But basically, that pixel or that image is now cached on Google servers. So when they go back to look at the email again, they're just pulling from Google's cache as opposed to pulling from it before. 2 years ago, if you were doing this, you could actually tell like user agent, you could tell all these things. You could tell like what browser they were using, what OS they were using, their IP, because within Gmail, that specific client was going and requesting that pixel and it was getting downloaded into your version of Chrome. So they've changed that now. Anyway, long spiel to say, if you're setting up these triggers, I suspect you would want to look at just setting a trigger of one open, because you're not going to get the multiple opens anymore. Link tracking is a little bit different. Link tracking, I'm like iffy on using it. I know you can set up like different domains, et cetera, to use that. It is one of those things that can set off spam filters if it's not done correctly. So not a huge fan of that in general, but I do like, if you are getting really strong campaigns with good engagement, it's a great way to set up your call triggers. And again, like Sarah said, we're fans of, you know, doing your homework ahead of time and then using the phone as just an additional channel to get extra out of the work that you've already done by prioritizing calling the individuals that have already engaged with your campaign. So as opposed to the flip side would be, let's just grind away on the phone and then eventually get something. This is sort of, let's be smart and tactical about it. And I'm not saying grinding away on the phone is not smart. It's just more of a, let's throw time and resources and like hard work at it. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that approach. Both approaches work. They're going to work differently in different industries. So there's no right or wrong. This is just sort of, I don't know, this is the way I see the world. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of represented on our revenue team. So I just want to add that piece of context just to get my piece in.
Yeah.
Back to you, Sarah.
Yeah. Keep going. So yeah, mixing in phones when there's a little bit of intent shown, definitely LinkedIn. Obviously it's tough there. They may or may not accept the connection request, but if they do, my first LinkedIn message to them, apart from the message that's in the connection request, is going to kind of mirror that first email. So saying, I'm not sure if you read my email, but I saw you commented on XYZ, same kind of thing. And even a lot of people will respond there and be like, yeah, I like the style of this outreach. That's really nice that you personalized that.
And those are always the best messages, as opposed to like F off and die.
Yeah.
You know, like that can be as the recipient of those emails, it can get a little tiresome when people are like, hey, would you just kindly fuck off?
Yeah.
And like I've been on the end of that through email. It's even harsher on the phone. And I've got plenty of those. Still better than calling somebody and being like, oh yeah, Jim died like 7 years ago. Like, oh my God. I'm so sorry for your loss. Goodbye. Yeah. But anyway, hopefully you're not dealing with that, because I was calling off some very old lists a very long time ago when that was happening consistently.
Oh God.
Yeah, that was bad. Anyway, I'm taking this off track again. So basically, if I want to get back to it, probably transition into results. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about, we spoiled a little bit of it. Obviously, yeah, it's working really well, which is why we wanted to share it.
Yeah.
But can you dig a little bit deeper? Because that first campaign we shared, it was only, I think, 14 recipients.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a pretty short list. And I think when I chose that one, I chose it specifically because of that content and because it was so relevant to us. But normally one with such low engagement, I wouldn't choose anymore. But yeah, so I have done a bit of like a roundup and just added up all of the campaigns. So at the moment, as I mentioned, I've done 19 of these. I've got a couple more that I have yet to start sending on, but they're ready to rumble. So as of today, there is a 69% open rate, a 20% reply rate, and 17 meetings booked.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's across how many, was it 400?
Yeah. Like, 500 odd recipients, we'd say. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Contacts.
Yeah. And so that's like a 2.5% sort of sequenced to booked meeting ratio, which is pretty phenomenal. Like that's pretty high. And this is something that can be, it's not like a one and done. It's if you're, and like, I think this is why it was super valuable to Beck for the target accounts, is if you have a very limited number of accounts you can go after, you can continue to reach them by finding new things that they're engaging on.
Yeah.
This is not just like a one and done, hey, I'm trying to sell you some stuff. It's like, hey, this is topical, this is relevant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. And like the I did some math earlier, it was like 2.8%, but I think some of the base numbers changed, maybe like closer to 2.6, 2.5. I'm not super great at math in my head this quickly. But let's say it's 2.5 and we'll put the numbers in, but that's really great. Sarah, that sounds like an amazing process. If I can just cap it in summaries, if somebody's listening, the core of it is it's really great to focus on. It's a really great strategy. So if you have target accounts, go check out Beck Holland's video. We'll find a link, we'll throw it in the bottom. As a bonus, we're also gonna try and get Beck on the show. Beck, if you're listening, we're coming for you. So her process is great for target accounts. If you don't have a target accounts list and it's a little bit more open, say you're on a small SDR team, this is a great approach. It allows you to find triggers based on certain thought leaders. And the process goes, you find the thought leaders, you find the people, you find the threads that have high engagement, 100 likes, 50 comments, and then you add those people to a list. You're pulling those people into a spreadsheet. Then you are importing that spreadsheet. You're finding the emails. You're importing that spreadsheet into your outreach alongside their comment so that you can see if they commented or just liked it. And then as you're going through your outreach steps, you're looking at each individual one and saying, okay, did they comment and did they just like it? And then you're using their comment or their like to sort of tie it in with that hook of like with a what if statement. So I noticed that, you know, this piece is relevant to the talk. What if you could do XYZ, which sort of alludes to our value prop. And then you sort of wrap it with a call to action. And that piece is what's really giving you that really strong conversion rate from somebody you put into the top of a sequence to booked meeting. And I'll add one layer of context here, because the booked meetings that Sarah is booking, right? There's meetings that she's taking, and then there's meetings that you're passing to the account execs, right? So there's a little bit of a difference there.
Yeah.
So we're looking at the meetings that you're actually booking, right? Those are the numbers that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Cool. And so that was super awesome. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
We got two more parts, and I'm really going to grill you on the cold call segment. So like, don't worry about it. But lightning round.
Cool.
So I know we've kind of talked about this for the entire episode, but how do you get people to answer your emails?
Yeah. So find something relevant to them, either this post that they've liked or this comment that they've made, and then with a really powerful what if statement, address the pain that they're feeling.
Perfect. I love that you're going for that like trigger event based on pain. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. How do you handle a brush off on a cold call?
I know that you're busy. This will only take 2 seconds.
Cool. And what do you do when you need to push at the end of the quarter?
Well, more stuff like this. So really highly personalized stuff. Get on your nurtures, make sure you're being super rigorous with your follow-up, and make sure you're calling the call trigger notification people.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And I will point out, like I said, I highlighted earlier, I had highlighted, like, big shout out to you again. One of the smartest things that you're doing is always staying on top of your LinkedIn, always adding more, because when you do need to push at the end of the quarter, this is this little pot of gold that you can call on, because there's absolutely nothing worse than being behind on your quota and not being able to see a path towards it.
Totally.
And you got a couple of days left and you're just sweating bullets going, I really got to hit this. Where the fuck are these numbers going to come from?
Yeah, for sure.
This is like one of my favorite things. And I know I've brought it up like 3 or 4 times on the show. So this is the last thing to say, but if you're listening, copy Sarah here, because this is a real smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Awesome. My favorite segment, cold call me.
Okay.
No pressure.
None.
Cool. All right. So let's set the stage here. Who are you? Who am I? Like, who as a prospect, target prospect, what's my title? What kind of company am I working for?
CEO of a B2B company that has a pretty small sales development team, but currently looking for a few more.
Gotcha. Okay. Ready? Ring, ring. Hey, this is Colin.
Hi, this is Sarah from Predictable Revenue. How's it going?
Good, Sarah. How you doing?
Good.
What can I do for you?
Yeah. So I saw that you have a couple of SDRs in the Vancouver office. How are they doing in terms of hitting your quota this year?
They're great. Crushing it.
Nice.
One of our reps is 130% of quota.
No way. Yeah. Nice.
It's amazing.
Cool. Well, I actually saw that you're hiring for a couple more reps in the Vancouver office. How's that hiring process going?
It's going.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't hit our hiring goals.
Okay, fair enough. I hear that it's pretty tough to hire good talent in Vancouver. And actually, that's where we come in. Our clients have found that we're super helpful when it comes to hiring them great talent, training them with the predictable revenue methodology, and then getting them ramped and ready to go to book meetings. Does that sound interesting?
Sounds great.
Cool. Book a time.
Nice. Well done, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. If people are looking to, if they got questions, they just think you're awesome, where can they find you?
On LinkedIn, Sarah Jane Hicks, Sarah with an H. You can find me there, shoot me a message. I'll accept all your connection requests and I'll answer all your messages.
Right on. And prospect you if you're on a list and you're commenting on Jake Dunlap's post.
Sure will. Even if you message me, I'll prospect you.
Right on. She's coming for you.
We're coming.
Thanks for coming on the show, Sarah.
Thanks, Colin.
All right. Thanks, everybody.